Praise the Lord. He's worthy of praise, isn't he? Hallelujah. He is holy. Glory to God. You love the Lord tonight with your whole heart. He's after the whole heart, isn't he? He's after the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. And not only that, without spot, without wrinkles. Hey, hallelujah, no wrinkles. Without blemish, amen. That's what he's really after. And the reason we have to come to an understanding, we have to know that the reason there was a sin offering was to get rid of the spot. The spot. Amen? The spot in the nature. Spot in the character and the attitude, the behavior also. I know we like to talk about that God wants to deal with the nature, because if he can get the condition of the heart correct, right, the rest will fall in line. Amen? But we also, you know, we don't want to totally throw out that there is, you know, actions do carry consequences, don't they? You know, we don't want to leave that undone. You know, for whatever reason, the church has moved into this mode that, you know, consequences are just, you know, God forgives and it's over. And though there's truth in that, there's also consequences. Amen. I mean, we have consequences in life, right? Don't do your work at work, what happens? You can get fired. So there's consequences, right? But we just have to understand that. And we thank God every day that he was our sin offering. Amen? And I really thought I was just about done to wrap this up. But, you know, I was looking at these general principles for the sin offering. And I begin to look at that there were two sin offerings of a special character, all right? And they were appointed for Israel, not just for the individual, but they were appointed for the whole nation, okay? And so, because that's really what God's after. He's after a body, isn't he? He's after a tabernacle. Living stones, right? And the two sin offerings that carried the special character was the Day of Atonement and the red heifer offering. And I'm going to begin to talk about the Day of Atonement. And I know we've talked about it in the past, and you know, we've touched on things, and I really thought I was just going to kind of skip through it tonight and move on to the red heifer offering. But as I begin to, you know, dig into it a little more, and, you know, I don't, at least for me anyway, you know, I find it so tasty. You know, I love God's word. You know, it's like, it's so boring. No. It's life-giving. It's liberating. It's all the above, isn't it? And so I had to get my phone and turn my hotspot on, because I have everything downloaded on Google Drive, and if I don't refresh it before I leave the house, like, the Wi-Fi at the house will take care of it, and it'll be okay when I get here. But if I forget to do it like I did today, then I have to refresh it here, and you need the Wi-Fi. So, with all that, let me see. How do I want to do this? Let's begin here. Let me see. I'm going to... Hey, wait a second. This thing didn't update all my pages. Don't tell me I'm going to be up a creek. I could be up a creek. Hang on, let me try this again. At least I have some of the ones I want, but that's interesting. It didn't update them all, but I'll bet you my phone has them. Sorry about that. Huh? It doesn't happen with paper. I got it. You want to know what? It's not on my phone either. I know I moved them into Google Drive. Oh, well. Going to live without it right now. Here we go. I'll save that other part for Sunday then. It's okay. It was just a little bit of an overview. Oh, you know what? Forget it. Somebody has a book. Yeah, give me a book. I just take pictures of the book. That's all I do. And put it on my Google Drive. Modern electronics. It's on paper. Okay. So let me ask you a question. If I ask you, I only needed this right here. Okay. If I ask you the question, what is the Day of Atonement? Now, I know I've taught on it in the past, and I know we've talked about it many times. But if I ask you, what is the Day of Atonement, what comes to your mind? What's that? I listen to music so loud for so long that now I'm starting to, unfortunately, lose a little bit of my hearing. So going to have to speak up. Now I know why God gave me a loud voice, that when I get older, I'll still be able to hear myself. Okay, the Day of Atonement. What's the Day of Atonement? The Bible says it's a day to what? You know what? Maybe we better do that. Let's turn to Leviticus. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus, Leviticus. Let me ask this question. Do you know what feast the Day of Atonement is in? Tabernacles. Yeah. All right. Do you remember that? Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to take my time so we can. And can I say this? I'm not saying anybody feels this way, but listen. We look at these things, we study these things, we teach these things, we learn these things. There's a reason for it, right? It's the way of the Lord, and there's so much in this Day of Atonement. Like, what are the three main feasts? Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle, all right? So we understand the three main feasts, right? But what feast is God after? Tabernacle, isn't he? But that doesn't mean we stop celebrating the other two feasts, okay? But in the middle of the day, in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, there's a Day of Atonement, right? So, chapter 23, starting with verse 26. And the Lord spake, I love that, don't you? The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also, on the 10th day of this 7th month, because the Feast of Tabernacles is in what month? The 7th, all right? Also, on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement, right? A Day of Atonement. And it shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls in an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Okay? Are you all right with that? And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it shall be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statue forever. How long? Forever throughout your generations in all of your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening time, right? From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Okay? So, three major feasts: Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. Tabernacle is a picture of the booth or the indwelling, right? And what we have to come to an understanding, this is what God is after. But in order to get there, let's turn here. I don't want to read the whole chapter. Leviticus 16. See, this is going to take me way too long. So I'm just going to, I'm not going to rush. I'll look at the clock. I'll stop. And then we'll pick up another day. All right? Okay. I like verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, we have to understand this happened right after Aaron's two sons died. Okay? Now, listen to this. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, excuse me, which is upon the ark, that he die not. Now watch this. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. All right? Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering. This is how they get tied together. All right? And a ram for a burnt offering. So not only is there a bullock for the sin offering. By the way, who had to bring the bullock? The priest, and one for the congregation, remember? They were the only ones that could bring that, right? But in the burnt offering, you could bring a ram based upon your what? Social class, right? Remember that? Okay? That was for the burnt offering. So a bullock and a ram was being sacrificed at this point, right? See, it seems like, people, we get mixed up in the things, but if we really read the Bible, we will find out how they all interconnect, right? Does it really matter? Yeah, it really does. Because, watch, when he said to us in chapter 23, it's for throughout all your generations, forever, right? A statute forever. He really meant forever. Because you and I now can identify with what he was talking about. Or what, and in other words, too, what they already did, right? Okay, are you all right? And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. So, the high priest in that day had to do what? In order to go into the most holy place. He had to change his clothes because he had special clothing he had to put on, right? And he had to wash his flesh. Now, I'm not there yet, and we'll talk about it in more detail, but in order for a people to go into the holiest of holies, listen, they no longer need to wash their flesh because it won't do us any good, but we get washed not only by or loosed by the blood, but the cleansing comes by what? Fire. I don't know if that's true. Yes, look, Jesus said this. He said, unless you, or no, not Jesus, but John the Baptist said, I believe. I'm all blue. He said, he will come and baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Well, the cleansing, the purging that he's talking about is the Day of Atonement. All right? Are you all right? And in order for you and I, listen, this is the problem we have as Christians as a whole. We understand Passover to a degree, and we understand Pentecost to a degree. And I do believe historically, even the modern day church, which I'll call it a couple of hundred years old or a few hundred years old, I'll say it like this. The Enlightenment out of the Dark Ages, how's that? We understood that we could move away from performance-based in the sense of I'll just follow the rules and regulations into a place of the just live by faith, right? And then we come to this place that there was a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pentecost, that's the feast, right? But in order, no matter what anyone says, I don't care what anyone says, we have not experienced the fullness of tabernacle. And the reason we have not is because we've not really, truthfully, been purged. Look, we have a message about it, right? And we can run around thinking that we've already achieved it. But God is bringing a people to a threshing floor. What did he say? Then he said the fan is in his hand and he's the flame. And remember that? Remember when we were talking about salt? Remember that? What's the reason for it? It's to purge. It's to cleanse, isn't it? Can I throw this in there? So I wonder when Paul or whoever wrote, yeah, Paul, it was in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. You read the whole verse, not one time does it ever say anything about water. Now, he wrote in Ephesians that we're washed by the water of the word. But to finish the work, the truth of the matter is to dry up the water, right? Because everybody gets dried off after they get wet. Need a little heat, don't you? And the reason is, watch, you can't have a true tabernacle without fire. This is the part most folks, listen, remember Gideon's army? The picture's there, right? The three feasts are right there. The first folks that got to go home were who? The folks that were afraid. Of what? The battle or the fire or the trial. Come on, we don't have to go out here and shoot guns and we don't, you know, I'm not saying it's not that way in some places of the globe. What I'm saying is, for the most part, most of our pressure is internal. Right? Where does the battle rage? Between our ears. Because the battleground is the what? It's the mind. Is it any wonder you had to put the kidneys, the caul, and the choice fat on the altar for the sin offering? Because the thing God wants is the what? The mind. Because he knows if he gets the mind, even if the rest of the body is a pile of ashes. I'm sorry. Are you with me tonight? All right, I got to get moving here. So the Day of Atonement was what month? Seventh month. The number seven is, speaks of perfection. But it was on what day? The 10th day. Now, what does the number 10 stand for? It carries the order, yeah. It has to do with trials and testings or tribulation, really. I should call it that way. Tribulation. Well, I don't know if that's true. Okay, let's see. Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation, I got to find it. Revelation, I think it's in chapter 2. Might be chapter 3. I guess I'm going to have to hang on. Just hang on. No, it was chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Are you there? So he's talking to the church of Smyrna, right? Verse 10. Are you there? Chapter 2, verse... Fear... let's read verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Excuse me. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews, right? And they're not, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. Okay? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So we see here, right, 10 shows a picture of tribulation, doesn't it? And when he says that the 10th day is the Day of Atonement, what is he telling us to do? To afflict our souls. So in other words, that really means to trouble the flesh. And the reason, you say, well, why in the world would I ever do that? The reason is so you can have a true, pure cleansing to become a tabernacle of the Most High God. Listen, God dwells now in imperfect vessels, but that is not His ultimate intention. His ultimate intention is to live in a people without spot or wrinkle. And it, watch this, no matter what anybody says, I don't care who we are, it is not going to be done except by the Holy Ghost fire. The cleansing. And if we do not believe that, then ask yourself, am I higher than the Master who went through the Garden of Gethsemane, who had to say, not my will? See, that's the true afflicting of the soul. I've been saying this for 30 years. I think the greatest thing Jesus ever suffered was the suffering of His own soul. You mean to tell me it didn't? Oh, it hurt. I guarantee you it hurt. But you know what? With all the power of creation, with inside of Him, the Godhead dwelt within Him, didn't it? And every voice that said, if you be the Son of God, if you be, He didn't have to prove a thing to anyone, did He? All He had to do was obey the word that was inside of Him. Now, the Day of Atonement, all right? The foundation of this, it means, what are you doing when you afflict your soul? You're bowing down. Hello? Bowing down. It is a call to repentance. It's a cleansing. It's a purification. It's a sanctification. I like this. It's a preparation for tabernacle. If you think this whole thing is a negative connotation, you miss the whole part that it's all about preparation. And the word of the Lord to this church, all the way back in 2000, 16 years ago when we were in the clubhouse up at the trailer park, when the missionaries were here, right? And he prophesied to us, what did he say? He said, prepare for purpose. And there's only one purpose. There's only one purpose, and that's to be a tabernacle. It's a preparation. Are you all right? See, it's not a popular message because, you know, in Pentecost, what does Pentecost mean? Freedom. Unfortunately, too many folks have taken that as freedom to do whatever they want. But listen, we have a freedom in Jesus, don't we? But the real freedom is to finish the work in us. Or to see the work finished in us, I don't, you know, you get my point, right? In other words, how about, let me say it better. To take the finished work and have it applied in our lives. It's a preparation. See, if I can't make anything clear, I must make this clear to us. The Day of Atonement prepares us for the full indwelling of who He is in a vessel without spot or blemish. Because when it's all said and done, listen, yes, right now we live and move and have our being in Him, and we have this aspect of God. He works in an imperfect vessel. But let me tell you, far too many people has made that their goal. Because really what they want to do is they want to boost or make the flesh. When all along God's wanted to do what? Kill it, right? Because flesh and blood can not. Listen, I'm talking to myself. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. No matter how much God loves us, no matter how much His mercy is, no matter how much His grace has been poured out and poured in and flows through, I'm here to tell us tonight, there's no free pass. There's only a full process that he who endures or goes through the process. Isn't that what Jesus did? His work was also his way. And so therefore we take his work and make it our way. And it is the way of the what? Cross. It's not just the work of the cross. Oh, hallelujah. We could live on the work of the cross and, you know, we'll be good all the way up to, you know, we'll be good all the way to the grave, won't we? That's what the work will do. But the way will bring us beyond the grave. Because Christ does what? He dies no more. Are you with me? All right. Now remember, this feast of tabernacle, let me back up. This sin offering, right, was special for who? The whole nation of Israel, right? All right. So Israel, this is why, remember when we read it? If this person doesn't afflict their soul or, you know, they get cut off. And it's, and you know, and I understand, you know, we don't like that or anything, but here's the reality, right? Listen, how many of you would dump your money continually into a bad investment? You wouldn't do it, right? So eventually you stop it. Well, that's what God did. When people wouldn't afflict their souls, they were cut off. All right? So Israel as a nation had to afflict her soul. Okay? Only the high priest entered the most holy place. Nobody else. That's why I said to you on Sunday, he's looking for a royal priesthood or a high priesthood. You understand that? Because only the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, can do what? Enter into the holiest of holies. All right? The Day of Atonement was a national day of cleansing from sin. Do you understand that? All right. Now, Jesus is the high priest who atoned for man, didn't he? Thank you, Jesus. He is the scapegoat. We've went through that already. I don't want to go through it again, but he is the scapegoat, wasn't he? And he is the Lord's goat. How many know he put away sin, sickness, poverty, and death? He destroyed it all. Are you excited about that? He did. Now you and I must apply that life to our life. Experientially. Not just in our minds and in a message. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't see everything under our feet and we walk by faith and not by sight. And just by declaring a thing doesn't make a thing happen. It's all about living it out or expressing it out in experience. And the one thing I've learned about experience is it doesn't come in a hukumashai or instantaneously. I mean, the first time you do something in life, I mean, there are some things you can master the first time. Sometimes you get lucky too. But I think you get my point about experience, right? How many drives a car in here? I don't know if I should really ask this question, but I would think most of us are more experienced now than when we started. But you get my point, right? You get better, don't you? What's that? Yes. So Jesus is our forerunner, isn't he? He's our forerunner. Okay? All right. Are you with me? Turn with me to James chapter 4. Now, I've been saying this for a couple of years now, right? I think. God resists the proud, but he does what? He gives grace to the humble. Now, I have a question for you. How should I ask this question? What would make someone not afflict their soul? What's that? Pride. Because really, in reality, is they don't think there's anything wrong with them. Because if we think afflicting our soul, or if we understand, I should rephrase that, if we understand that afflicting our soul means to bow down, right? What we're really doing is humbling ourselves or bowing down when we humble ourselves. Are you okay? I really do believe this, and I don't say this mean. I say this in all honesty, and listen, I might even be guilty, but the truth of the matter is I really feel sorry for a lot of folks that they actually come to the Lord and they have accepted Him by knowledge, and they actually never see themselves as where they came from, like there was nothing wrong, and so then they never changed their lives. But you and I must come to an understanding, even for as much as you and I know, that if we do not humble ourselves and let our lives change. See, we don't ever understand why God put a tree of death and a serpent in a garden was only to show you and I was how great His love really is. Because without those two items there, we have no reference point of how great He is. Because ask yourself the question, what would you reference it against? And all Adam had to do was what? I still wonder. This has been a haunting question to me. Geez, how long was it between the serpent saying, "You won't die," before they actually ate from the tree? Was it a few minutes? A few days? A few weeks? A few months? A few years? The Bible doesn't say it all. We do know that Adam lived to 900 and some years old. And what makes me think about that is, wasn't it Samson that his wife kept coming to him, trying to get the answer, what, day by day by day, until he finally relented? And the thing that you and I must understand, come on, you really have to understand this, that the soul will keep constantly coming to us day by day by day by day until we do what? But this is the whole point of afflicting one soul. Come on, the Bible says this, does it not? That the flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And the reason is because they're contrary to one another. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's an enemy of God. Geez, I got a lot of carnality that needs to be cleansed and purged. And the reason for it is because He has marked us to be a tabernacle without spot or wrinkle. But if I do not bow down or humble myself. Listen, do you remember the story? I was thinking about this today. I haven't forgotten it. What got David? Remember David when he ended up over at, had to buy the threshing floor? But what got David in trouble and 70,000 people dead? It was national pride from the top on down. They wouldn't humble themselves. Can I say this? I don't know why. I just heard this in my ear. Do you want to know what real pride is to the Lord? Is when you, I won't say you, I was going to say you and I, I'll just say me. When I decide to do it my way. And you know what makes it exceedingly high? Is when I say, I'm going to do it my way and then call it God. So therefore, the man of sin sets himself up in the temple of God thinking that he is more powerful than God. All right. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God. Oh, wait. Jeez. Let's start at verse 6. But He giveth more. No. See, I got to back up again. Verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? Because it's after something, isn't it? But He gives more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble.
Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and... Did you hear that? Who will lift you up? Can you hear that? If we bow down and humble ourselves, the Lord... Listen, we never got this before. We really never have. Do you remember, is it in the Psalms or the Proverbs? I got a little mixed up right now. But he says, listen, the promotion comes from who? The Lord. We always equated that to a better position, a better job, more money. But the truth of the matter is, if we understand promote, all he's doing is promoting us from this version to a better version. If we humble ourselves, he elevates us or causes us to ascend. Can I say it? Really what I'm trying to get us to understand. He causes us to ascend. Watch this. I'm all messed up tonight. He causes us to ascend in the cloud above the mercy seat. Remember chapter 16? After he went in, he changed the garments. And he went in and, oh, all of a sudden there was a cloud of glory. I'm not there yet. And I'm way ahead of myself. But he had to bring in a handful of incense. The only thing that could be in his hand. The two things that we lack the most in the church today. Is prayer and worship. Not this, oh hallelujah. Worship. A handful of incense, which creates a cloud above the mercy seat, which is where he said he would what? Meet us. No, do you know what he was really saying? He said, I'll dwell in you. Above the mercy seat, without spot, a change of garments. Because remember the minute he came out of the most holy place, what did he have to do? He had to change his garments back into the other ones. You know what the other garments were? They were the show garments, the glory garments. Oh, hey, look at me garments. No, I didn't mean to say it like that, but the only thing in there was the linen garments. What was linen? What's it represent? It's the righteousness of God. Thank God for Passover, and I celebrate it every single day. I thank God for Pentecost, even though the truth of the matter is we've not even enjoyed the fullness of Pentecost as a church. We have, you know, we have some movement and giftings, and it's troubling of the water. But the reality is a true movement of Pentecost. We've not truly enjoyed that feast. But one of the reasons we've moved beyond it is because God's bringing us into tabernacles. Because the truth of the matter is, when a people come into the fullness of tabernacles, they'll be able to express all three feasts. Watch this. This tickles me to death. They'll be able to celebrate and express all three feasts in a perfectly clean, pure, holy vessel. Not as an individual, but as a corporate man. And I'm way ahead of myself. But if we refuse to, if we go to the book of Revelation 12, we find out those who don't afflict themselves and they still love Jesus, they have to run to the wilderness in the woman, the church, to be fed by a people. Watch this. Who were willing to afflict themselves. I know I'm all messed up tonight.
I could almost go home right now, but if I don't leave you with one thing, you have to understand the Day of Atonement is a day of preparation. If you only see it as a day of fire and cleansing, you will miss the true purpose. Are you all right? Humble ourselves, right, in the sight of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. When I was about, 1980, I think I was like 20 years old. There was a pretty popular song that was out. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Remember that? Have you ever heard that song, anybody? Yeah. Remember it? Yeah, Uncle Terry and Sherry. We're the only old dudes here. Dudes and dudettes. Yeah, but, you know, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. No. See, as long as I think that I'm perfect in every way, I'm not humble at all, am I? I'm not an advocate that we run around and beat ourselves up. And I know some folks do. I really think the biggest problem we have in the church today is pride. It is arrogance. We think we're somebody. And if we read the book of Isaiah where he says, listen, You've only cut wind. We've been like a woman with child, and we've not brought forth any deliverance in the earth. I mean, we talk about it. I'm going to tell you what, the truth of the Pentecostal movement at the beginning of the 20th century, at the end of the 19th century, into the early part of the 20th century, I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't the church folks that were bragging about it, it was the unbelievers were finding out what was going on. Are you all right? 1 Peter. Almost the same thing. Now, James said this. I was thinking about this today. You know, I told you this story one time. I remember my friend, he said, you know, I was watching the History Channel, and, you know, they've come to this conclusion that, you know, that it wasn't a lot of different writers that wrote the Bible, that it was only one person. And I was pretty sure he was an unbeliever, and I was pretty sure he was telling me this because, you know, he wanted me to say, oh, no, that's not true. But I said, you know what, you're right. And he looked at me, said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, look at it like this. If you go in your house, you have a whole lot of receptacles in your house, and you got light switches. I said, electricity goes to every one of those things, but they all come from the same source. And it's the same thing. How many water lines do you have coming into your house? You only have one, but it can come out many different faucets that all look different, but I'll tell you what, they're only bringing forth one thing, that same water, that same electricity. Are you with me? If you have gas, and I mean in your house, are you with me? All right, here we go. Oh. And when the chief, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall what? Appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. I know folks don't like this, but I'm going to tell you what. Listen, I could be the worst dude in the world, sort of. But it is not your job to correct me. Well, who are you subject to? Well, I am subject to you, but I'm also, correction comes from the Lord. This is why children never understand. It is not their job to correct parents, even if they're wrong. Are you with me? Students, can they correct their teachers? No. Are you with me? We don't like it, but let me tell you, the minute we start walking down these avenues, we violate the Word of God. Watch this. Remember Nabal? I think his name was Nabal. And his wife was called Abigail, right? And David was going to kill him. Because he was what? He was a mean old dude, wasn't he? But what did Abigail do? She didn't say, good, I hope he kills him. No, she interceded for him. Because she understood. Are you with me? She humbled herself. The church must humble itself in order for God to really work in us. This isn't about having a relationship where we feel good. This is really all about what God's after, and it's His purpose. So likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Do you know what that means? Be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So we heard James say it. Out of the mouth of how many witnesses? Two or three. Is a thing what? Established in the earth. So now we've come to an understanding that God is telling you and I to bow down before Him. Watch this, not just in word. I'm pretty good at that. But it has to be also in what? Deed or experience. Well, I do bow. Yes, we do. I'm not suggesting for one moment we don't. But that which is in part, it must become what? See, this is the part that individualists don't get. I can never be perfect or complete or see the fullness of Christ without you. No matter how much I know. Watch this. No matter how clean I am. What makes the Christ? I'm telling you, this is the only thing I'm selling. And I hope you're buying. Because it's the only thing God's doing. He's only selling a body. That's why He's telling us, be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. I know. This doesn't go over in a 21st century American church, but I'm here to tell you it's the thing that God is doing. He's going to cleanse a people who are willing to humble themselves. Not just in mind, not just in word. Experience the baptism of fire as you afflict your soul. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, stepping beyond the rent veil by a first fruit company of sons. When they crossed over the Jordan, they didn't cross over just individually. Yes, individually they did it, but they moved as a body, a nation. For the church, a time of great sifting and testing for the church. 1 Peter chapter 4, real quick. Are you ready? Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it be first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Can you believe it? That some folks aren't going to obey the gospel of God? Oh, wait. This isn't just folks out there. This might be this folk in here.
I'm naive and gullible to think that everything within me obeys God. Hello? You can always see the proud and the arrogant. They're always blowing their own. This is why, doesn't the proverb say this? Don't glorify yourself. Doesn't it?
A time of great sifting and testing for the church. Why? To prepare to experientially put away sin, sickness, poverty, and death. Experientially.
Watch this. Can I say this? As great as the movement of Pentecost was, how come it isn't long-lasting into, geez, I think about Mariah Woodward Eder. Her own great-grandchild didn't even know she was a faith healer.
It's because God has moved out of that dimension and He's now coming into a place of the Day of Atonement to get clean vessels that can overcome everything, especially the veil of the flesh.
See, like I told you on Sunday, I drove by Bethesda last Saturday. But you know what the most interesting thing to me is? Here's this big old church. Big church. And there's lots like it. And yet we were going to save the world and our own houses are falling apart. The divorce rate is just as high in the church. This is why God wants us to humble ourselves and bring us to a cleansing place that we can experience what He really paid a price for. He's after something in our lives. What He's really after is His seed to finish the job that it started out to do. Amen. The Day of Atonement. There's so much more, and I'll deal with it more on Sunday, unless, you know, God changes. Let's stand. If I didn't tell you anything tonight, what did I tell you? That the Day of Atonement was a day for a national cleansing. It was a sin offering. We know that Jesus fulfilled that and He broke through the veil of the flesh. He became the booth, the tabernacle that God came and dwelt in. But He declared to you and I, if lest the corn of wheat falls in the ground and dies, he will be the only individual. But He said, I don't want that because the Father doesn't want that. He said, I want to be in them and them in me, that we all might be one booth. So therefore, humble yourselves. Bow down. Afflict one soul. You remember when I started saying this? When's the last time you just said no to yourself? We think we have to have everything. We think we have to do everything. It's the blessings of God. Yeah. They had the blessings of God too. But what God wanted was the real blessing of God for Him. A tabernacle. All the things we like about what God does for us is mainly to satisfy our souls and flesh. Well, I don't want to do this. Well, I want to do that.
It's a day of preparation. And we really want what He wants. We will allow the Holy Ghost and fire to prepare. Father, we love You. I love Your word, Lord. But more importantly, that Your word would become flesh, tabernacle amongst us. That we can be that naos, that living temple, God. Not just in part, but in fulfillment of Your word. So God, this night, I ask You, God, that the word be sealed upon our hearts and our minds, God, and that we don't just walk out of here, God, it is another message, whether you think it's good or bad, it's irrelevant. But God, that we walk out of here, Father, with a desire. With a desire, God, to be Your tabernacle and actually do something about it. Because remember what the sluggard does. He can desire and never do anything about it. He won't pray and he won't bow down. So tonight, God, let the word be sealed. Guard it, God, so it can't be broken. More importantly, God, let it increase in our lives that we may become, watch this, that full portion. I declare this. I declare it. In the only name that really matters, the name, the nature, the character of Christ, Jesus, forever and ever. And all the saints say, amen.